Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
What is the power of positive leadership? Hello, everyone. Kevin Cruz here. And in just a minute, we're going to talk about how positive leaders can transform teams and organizations. But first, congratulations on being the CEO of your career. Content people seek entertainment. Ambitious people seek education. And to me, being ambitious, there's no negative connotation with that at all. The right people are ambitious because they know they can achieve more, they can help more, they can be more. Please tell your friends and family members, the LeadX Show is the smartest way to start your day. And also don't forget, you can download for free our ebook, Richard Branson's 7 Secrets to Leadership at leadx.org/Branson. And today's quick career tip is be curious. Now, I've taken 4 rides with Uber in the last month, and 3 out of the 4 drivers, when I got to my destination, 3 out of the 4 turned around. They wanted to shake my hand and they said I was the best customer they ever had. Now, what did I do to get them to say that? What did I say to get them to say that? The reality is I didn't do anything and I barely spoke. But what I did was I was naturally curious. And that's just the way I am. So whenever I get into a cab or an Uber, I often ask something like, how long you been driving for Uber and how do you like it? And how come you're not driving for Lyft? Or how long you been in Nashville? Or where are you from originally? And I just am naturally curious and ask these questions. Now, when you ask questions, you can't fake it. You have to ask questions you're genuinely interested in, but people love it. It gives them what they crave, attention, connection to another person, and they feel like they matter. Be curious. Now, our guest today is a giant among business authors and speakers. His inspirational talks have motivated Fortune 500 audiences, schools, hospitals, nonprofits, and sports teams all around the world. His book, The Energy Bus, is a mega bestseller, and his new book is The Power of Positive Leadership: How and Why Positive Leaders Transform Teams and Organizations and Change the World. Our guest, of course, is John Gordon. John, welcome to the show.
Kevin, thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm excited. And we're going to talk about the power of positive leadership in just a minute. But I always ask our guests to share a time when they've failed, because we want to learn from your failure too. So what do you got?
I love talking about failures because failures is ultimately where you learn, where you grow. Failure is not your enemy. It is actually your partner in growth to help you improve and to help you get better. So I ran for city council when I was 26 years old in Atlanta. I walked door to door to 7,000 houses and I lost the election. At the time, I was devastated because I thought that was my future. It was politics. But what I learned is that sometimes you have to lose a goal to find your destiny, that you're not always going to achieve everything you want to achieve, but you have to be open to the next step, the next phase, and what's ahead of you in your life.
Wow. And I'm just jotting notes like this. And I love that phrase. Sometimes you have to lose a goal to find your destiny. And I don't want to jump ahead, John, but clearly you've been making an impact and you've been reaching many, many more people than probably you ever could have reached, certainly at a city council level, and maybe even at a higher level, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my goal was really, you know, mayor of Atlanta, maybe Congress, but now I get to reach thousands of thousands of people. I get to write these books that I know I'm meant to write, share them, speak to audiences all around the country and the world, really. And so I know I'm doing what I'm meant to do. And if I was in city council or politics, I would be dealing with all this negativity and all these challenges and potholes and people's issues and you name it. And so now I get to actually focus on positivity and positive things rather than negative things.
And I'm going to be a little selfish here and ask some questions that are off topic from the book, because John, you're a legend among speakers and authors and you have had, you know, just a tremendously successful career, but you started out in business. I think you owned some restaurants. Is that right?
I did. I actually was in the restaurant business from the time I was 24 years old until I was about 35 years old.
Okay, whoa. So this I didn't know. So you didn't even start your author speaker career until you were 35?
Really around 32, 33. The goal was to get back in the restaurant business when I was around 30 years old, because I had been in it when I was 24, went to go work for .com after the city council thing didn't work out, and lost my job during the .com crash. And during that time, I said, okay, what am I born to do? Why am I here? And writing and speaking came to me. I never did it before, but that's what came to me. But I couldn't just go write and speak. I had to provide an income to my family. So I said, all right, let me get back in the restaurant business. I opened the Moe's Southwest Grills in Florida. First Moe's in Florida.
Wow.
Yeah, the 6 Moe's in the entire country. Now there's hundreds and hundreds of them. And second mortgaged our home, $20,000 in credit cards, put everything we had into this restaurant. And it was just, you know, such a risk at the time, but it ultimately paved the way for me to start writing and speaking.
And any tips for those out there? It seems like everybody, I'm sure you really get it all the time. Everybody's got a book in them. Everyone says they want to bring their message to the stage. So if someone hasn't done that yet, how would a young 35-year-old get started today?
Well, you would start by deciding what message you want to share. So what is like your core message? Because we often have a lot of messages we can share, but you really got to get to the core. And once you find your core, like this is the message that if you die tomorrow, you need to share this message today. So what's that message? Then I encourage people all the time to come up with like an overview of their talk, like describe it, then create an outline for it, then create a little bit of a web page where you share your information on a web page, a website. For me, it was John Gordon, Get Addicted to Positive Energy initially. That was my core talk. And then I had events. We had no events planned, but I put it up there. We had media, but we had no media, but I put it up there. You know, schedule, we put it up there, but I didn't have a schedule. I mean, I was acting as if, and that became my framework. But then it became about filling in each spot on the website of what I was accomplished. We had clients. I didn't have clients, but I gave 80 free talks.
Wow.
Yeah, 80 free talks. And I spoke to anyone who would listen. I called up friends who were in companies. Hey, I'll come speak to your team, come speak to your organization, reached out to associations. And it's funny, I still have hundreds and hundreds of emails that I sent out early on to associations saying, hey, I'd love to come and speak to your meeting, to your event. I'm John Gordon. Of course, basically 99.9% did not respond to me, but one thing led to another, you know, and now I get about $35,000 a talk. So I share that with people not to say, oh, look at me, because I knew where I came from. I tell people that because you have to start somewhere. But as you continue to do the work, continue to share the message, continue to reach people one person at a time, over time it builds.
Now, John, got to be honest, have you ever gotten a paid speaking gig recently that came from one of those places that didn't take you up on your free talk years ago?
Well, there are some that I don't really know for sure. Like I can't even remember. But I guess if I look through them, I would see. But yeah, I'm sure that there are some ones that like, oh, yeah, you know, I'd love to have you speak. I'm like, oh, yeah, I reached out to you 10 years ago.
Well, it's good that it worked out and at the higher fee level. That's all I could say. You mentioned in your book, I thought this was interesting, that you met Ken Blanchard, legendary leadership guru Ken Blanchard, and it sounds like maybe early in your career. So how did he influence you?
Well, Ken Blanchard taught at Cornell. He was a graduate of Cornell, and I went to Cornell. So Ken Blanchard was always a legend at Cornell. So as I was going to Cornell, you always heard about Ken Blanchard. And then I read The 1 Minute Manager, like millions of other people read this book. And, you know, he's the godfather of the business fable. And so when I started writing and I decided to write a business fable, it was because Ken Blanchard did it, because he was my role model. He was my mentor. And then when I wrote The Energy Bus, I reached out to Ken, and he was very supportive, very encouraging, being a former Cornellian. I happened to be in Las Vegas speaking. He was there. I was going to see Danny Gans, the Las Vegas entertainer, because Danny Gans read my manuscript. I sent it to him blindly, but he actually read it, responded. We developed a friendship. The guy was incredible. And I saw him on a TV show on CBS This Morning. That's how I heard of Danny Gans, reached out to him. So now I'm out there going to see Danny. Ken was out there. I invited Ken to come with me, he and his wife, to join me and my wife. We went with Danny backstage before his show, and that was the first time Ken and I actually really hung out. It was to go see Danny Gans. But then we developed a relationship from there. Because, again, I wasn't asking Ken for something. I was inviting him to something and to be a part of something. And then when I was out in Los Angeles, we visited San Diego, and Ken lives in that area, and reached out to him to see if he wanted to get together for lunch and so forth. And he invited us over his house on a Saturday. And so we went over his house with our family to visit him at his house, warm and encouraging. And that's where the relationship started. And then when I wrote the Energy Bus, I asked him to take a look at it. Would he write the foreword? He agreed to. I don't think any of us, neither of us thought it was going to be like a success like it was, like it has been. But he's been such a huge influence in my life. Just the way he lives, the kind of person he is, his encouragement from the very beginning, and just his name on that book helped get it out there initially, where people may not have read it, but they read it because they saw his name. And I credit him in a big way for my career. And I thank him all the time.
Well, that's a great story. And listeners, you know, what you just heard was actually an interesting networking tactic. And John, I know you weren't framing it that way. You weren't intentionally doing it. But I've often heard this advice from highly successful people where, you know, if you're trying to spend time, we're all busy, of course, these days. And if you're trying to build a new friendship, a new partnership, a great way to do it is to invite them along to something you're already going to. So maybe, you know, it's a small cocktail party. Maybe it's a lunch or a dinner with someone else. And it's a great way to actually provide value to all the parties involved and gives you something to do and to talk about and to bond over rather than just the normal cup of coffee. That's really great.
And it was fate in many ways, because he just happened to be out there. I was out there. It was lined up. It wasn't like I wasn't, you know, networking or trying to get something, because I had no idea that I was going to ask for something later on. I just wanted to connect with Ken and have a relationship with him. So, yes, I was providing value to him, because if I said, hey, Ken, you want to join me to meet this so-and-so nobody? I'd be like, oh, no, I'm a little busy, John, but you want to go see Danny Gans? Okay, yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Well, you just set that. So now I'm going to think about every time I'm doing something cool, who can I reach out to invite along, right? Let's make the most of the opportunity. I think that's great.
Exactly.
So, John, that means, you know, if in a few months I invite you to, I don't know, go race cars down in Orlando or something, you'll know why I'm inviting you.
I'm there.
So your new book, your newest book, is The Power of Positive Leadership. And I'm, again, curious, author to author, this one's not a fable. You've been quite successful with your fables. Why the shift?
Because this is a book that I've learned, you know, what I've learned over the past 10 years in writing the fables. And so I want to share what I've learned and in a framework that I could write in this way. This book could not be a fable. Too much information, too much content, too many stories. So I had to write the book this way to share all that I've learned about positive leadership from the leaders I've worked with, the companies, the sports teams, the NFL coaches, Dabo Swinney, Clemson coach, national champion, worked with them for 5 years. And so this is really about what I've learned from these amazing leaders.
And this is a good setup to a more specific question, because this book is jam-packed with these positive leadership principles, great stories, again, that you've accumulated, that you've learned, that you've refined, you know, over decades. And obviously, in a short format podcast, we can't go into them all. But, you know, one chapter in particular that I really liked was the one on positive leaders build great relationships and teams. So talk a little bit more about that.
I believe that's the most important part of the book. And it's funny that you would actually bring that part up, because it is essential. So positive leaders, they unite the organization, they unite the team, they bring people together to work together to create one team with one plan and one goal, all working towards the same vision and purpose. And then once you have that, it's about connecting with the relationships, to develop the relationships with each person on the team, to be able to encourage and mentor and inspire. And the stronger the relationship, the stronger the team. And so most teams break down because of no relationship, no communication. So if you can enhance communication, create connection, develop commitment with those individuals, they'll be more loyal to you, to the team, and then together you'll achieve so much more. So I often say positive leadership is not just a positive state of mind. It's a positive state of action. What are you doing to invest in these relationships that help people become their best so they can help the team be their best?
Love that positive state of action. And in that chapter, you bring out something that, at the ripe old age of 50, I'm just now starting to write more about myself. And that's the power of love. And that's not a word or an emotion that a lot of leaders, a lot of business people are comfortable with. But you write that, love comes up over and over again from like tough sports coaches and stuff about the power of love.
Yeah, when Dabo Swinney and Clemson won the national championship, there he was on national television, and he said, "My word all year has been love." And I told the guys the difference was going to be our love for each other. That was going to make the difference in us winning. And it's true. The more love you have for each other, the more connected you are, the stronger the bond, the more you will be committed to each other to achieve something. Where when you have a challenge or an adversity, if you don't have connection, if you don't have love, that team is going to run from each other and fall apart rather than come together and be strong. And so love, we often hear in the business world, is touchy-feely. No, this is, what? I love you, so I'm going to fight for you. I love you, so we're going to work together. I call it love tough instead of tough love. See, tough love works, but love must come first. If your team knows you love them, they will allow you to challenge them and push them to get better. And I've met way too many big, strong, powerful athletes who become their best because a coach and their teammates love them.
Wow, powerful stuff. Love tough, not tough love. And John, before we wrap up, I always ask our listeners to become 1% better every day. So challenge us. What's one specific thing we can do today to become better leaders?
Well, I often talk about pulling out your telescope and your microscope. So your telescope is the big picture vision of what you want to achieve. You have to have the big picture, because if you're working hard every day, you're grinding, and you lose sight of the big picture, you might give up. But that microscope is also essential as well. That microscope is the zoom focus action you need to take each day to realize the picture in the telescope. So I guess to help people get better, I'd say, what are you committed to in the microscope each day to help you realize the big picture in the telescope? Don't tell me your goals, because everyone has goals. Tell me your commitments, because it's your commitments that will take you to your goals. And that's the key to positive leadership. They carry both a telescope and a microscope for themselves and their teams. And that's the key for each one of us to be successful each day.
Brilliant. John, thanks for coming on the LeadX show. Will you tell our listeners how they can find out more about you and your work?
Sure, Kevin. They can find out about me at johngordon.com, johngordon.com, and also Twitter at johngordon11, johngordon11, Instagram, johngordon11 as well, and all the other social media sites.
All right, friends, you've just been mentored by none other than John Gordon. Don't forget, you can get the links and notes from this interview over at leadx.org. You can get John's new book from amazon.com or your favorite bookstore. And while that's it for today's episode of the LeadX show, I hope you will go and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Leave a rating and review. Only takes a minute, but it's the single best way to build the LeadX tribe. And until next time, remember, leadership is not a choice, because leadership isn't about authority, it's about influence, and you influence people with both your words and your silence, your actions and inaction. We are all leaders. Lead with intent.